And now from Britain, or Great Britain, I said, when I talked to him first, and he said, no, it's Britain. That's what they want you to say, Great Britain. Michael LaRose.
First of all, I'd like to say greetings from Britain, from London. And there were many people who I spoke to before I left London who said, what, a Malcolm X conference? They would have loved to be here. That's the influence Malcolm X has all over the world. I want to tell you something about my background. The chairperson introduced me as a member of the Black Youth Movement. That is a bit past now for me. I'm presently the band leader of a carnival band called the People's War Carnival Band that takes part in Notting Hill Carnival. And part of what I'm going to say is about that. The other thing is that I also started a sound system in London called People's War Sound System. So I give you a background of where I'm basically coming from. I read the autobiography of Malcolm X when I was 14. The importance of the book to me and the experience of Malcolm's life, development, and practice are many, but I want to focus on a few as they affect youth. One of those things is don't give up on trying to mobilize or politicize and educate that section of our population who are lost in the negative pursuit of individual accumulation of wealth and flashy materialism. Imitating and aping the rightly called vampires of the business world and the capitalist system. The second most damaging capitalists I know are the drug pushers, pimps, burglars, and the people who say, forget struggling for the betterment of everyone, let's just make it. What Malcolm's life has taught us is that we must be continually talking to, arguing with, and criticizing those elements in our communities rebelling for themselves without direction. If we don't, we may lose the chance of finding another Malcolm. Secondly, we must all take on seriously the question of education. I'm not only talking about the education you get in schools, but educating yourself outside those institutions. Self-education, by yourself. Education about your own history, your failures and your successes in Africa, in America, and most importantly, linking up generation to generation, the struggle of your parents before you. About education, about political and cultural ideas available around the world. Educating yourself about the experience of black people, third world people, progressive people, and working class people all over the world facing the same enemy, learning from their struggle, exchanging information, and trying to make alliances and links between your struggle and their struggle to find out how we can help each other against the same enemy. To break out of the ghetto mentality, to break out of the limitations of country, of language, or skin color, to an international progressive position. That's what Malcolm's legacy is for the rebellious youth of the world. Educate yourself about your enemy. Think and analyze. Be self-critical. Fight against all oppressors, black and white. We have to say what the legacy of Malcolm, sorry, Lastly, in the modern period, we have to say what the legacy of Malcolm is. It does not mean to keep Malcolm X like an icon, like an image, just on a t-shirt, just on a badge, just in the style of clothes, just in a militant pose, just to memorize the words and repeat them parrot fashion. It means to follow the example Malcolm set by searching for ideas, education, and alliances for power. I want to talk now about Britain and the question of culture and militancy. The example of Malcolm X made a lot of sense to Britain's urban black population. We knew what it was like to be in a white minority. We knew what it was like to live in big cities. When he came to Britain and commented when there was an election of a racist politician in an area called Smethwick near Birmingham in the middle of the country, he said, talking to a grouping of blacks in Britain, "Don't wait till the ovens start burning." In 1958, white racist Teddy Boy gangs started to attack black men in the Notting Hill area of London. Black people rallied together, whatever island they came from. They came and they fought and they beat the white racists out of the area. It was the first race riot in Britain. The other riots you hear about are riots anti-establishment, against the government. So you need to know what is going on in Britain. Basically, the culture of young black Britons is that our main cultural influences come from the Caribbean, basically Jamaica, and the Eastern Caribbean, Trinidad, Grenada. But the dominant Caribbean cultural influence is from Jamaica. There's a Jamaican nationalist here. Yeah. Okay. The other major cultural influence in Britain is the culture of North America, the culture of New York. So before even I came here, I knew a lot about it. The population of blacks in Britain is made up of people from the Caribbean islands, Grenada, Jamaica, St. Lucia, Dominica, Trinidad, Antigua, St. Kitts, Barbados, St. Vincent, and people from West Africa, Ghana and Nigeria, and people from the Asian subcontinent, people from Pakistan, India, Bangladesh. It is important to understand that the impact of blacks has been tremendous in Britain. The impact of black culture has been tremendous in Britain, with music, dance, language, customs, sound systems, carnival, soul and gospel singers. Those are all the cultural impact blacks have made on society. So much so that a lot of white youth take it up and become wanting to be part of it and to be, part of it is the word. The question of Caribbean unity, because that's what black unity means in London or in Britain, became fast on the agenda in 1958, after 1958, and I told you about the Notting Hill race riots. An Antiguan carpenter called Kelso Cochran was murdered on the streets of Notting Hill in 1958. And there were calls for black unity, Caribbean unity, so that we didn't stay in these island groupings. And that's one of the important steps, that 1958 attempt of Caribbean unity and black unity around the question of the Notting Hill race riots. And it was posed like this. The way to have Caribbean unity was to have cultural unity. And the way we were going to have cultural unity was to have a Caribbean carnival. The generation before mine came to Britain after World War II to work in what we call the shit jobs that most of the people in Britain either couldn't do or wouldn't do. Working on the buses, in the health service, etc. They settled in Ladbroke Grove, Notting Hill area, and in Brixton area of South London. It was the plan that we would come, we would work, and that we would go back. Most people never got back. And the plan by the government for their children was that they should take up the same shit jobs their parents had to. But the second generation said no to that. They felt a black pride and black unity and said no to the shit jobs, no to the bad education, no to Social Security or the dole. And they immersed themselves in cultural creativity around sound systems, around singing, around DJing and rapping. The product of that was a culture of resistance, a black culture that would not subsume under the British culture. We wanted to start parties at 11 o'clock at night. We wanted to play music late. We wanted to have our festivals like Carnival, where we took over the streets of Notting Hill. This culture of resistance not only affected the black youth, but they affected the white youth who were in a similar situation. It is said if you want to understand what's happening in the black population in Britain, you have to understand what the state of the carnival is from year to year. So the carnival becomes the pulse of what is happening in Black Britain. I know that there is a carnival here in New York. I was interested to try and find out more about it. But basically, for those who don't know, the roots of the Caribbean carnival that happens in Toronto, in New York, and in Notting Hill in London is an African root. It is an African celebration of the end of slavery, where people make costumes around mocking their former masters. And the African root in that comes out of Yoruba culture. That's coming out of West Africa. So wherever there is a strong Yoruba culture in Americas, there's a strong carnival culture. So we're talking about Brazil, Cuba, Haiti, and Trinidad as the main ones. There was always resistance to the culture of carnival, to the culture of blacks, to the blacks imposing themselves upon the cultural and social scenery of Britain. And this was opposed not only by the police, but by all the municipal boroughs that these events took place in. And day to day, there would be a war going on between the black youth and the police around the territory which was Britain. Carnival did not escape that. In 1975, Carnival, Notting Hill Carnival, became the biggest cultural festival in Europe. And that attracted the attentions of the British state and the police. After having 300 policemen at the carnival in 1975, 5,000 policemen turned up for 1976. Black youth would not have it. They could not have their tormentors, their yearly tormentors and persecutors in that presence at their cultural institution, Carnival. And they rioted and they inflicted the first defeat the British police had had in Britain for centuries. So the struggle with the police and the British government became a struggle for black culture, became a struggle for the carnival. In London, we have formed two organizations to try and keep the legacy of the carnival and its importance in the life of black people in Britain. They are the Association for People's Carnival, which I'm the present chairman of, and the Notting Hill International Carnival Committee, which I hope now you've heard about it, you'll try and find out more about them. And they will be fighting to keep Carnival on the streets as a black cultural festival in Britain. What we're asking people in the US is to know about what's happening in Britain and exchange ideas and possibilities of linking up in the future. We've already started with the artists on the cultural level, with people like Frighty and Colonel Might, Misha Paris, Loose Ends, Soul to Soul, Patu Banton, Tipper Irie, Papa Levi, Smiley Culture, the Saxon Posse, David Grant, Jemmy the Inting Magic, Jashaka, Inner City Courtney Pine, Karen Wheeler, Maccabee, Sweetie Irie, Nereus Joseph, Winsome, Maxi Priest, Pure Silk, Barry Boom, Aswad, Instigators, Omar, Rebel MC, London Posse, We Papa Girl Rappers, Janet Kay, Misty, Crucial Robbie. These all come out of the culture of resistance. But it's important in this conference, in this, where we talk about the legacy of Malcolm X, when we talk about youth culture, is that we must know that culture or youth culture cannot be separate from what's going on in the community or the world. Culture must go hand in hand with politics. Thank you.